I'm, as mentioned, Father Ronan, and I've come, I live real close to y'all over on Bunker Hill Road. And before that, though, I spent 30 years in Japan as a missionary. And this weekend, I am making a mission appeal to all of you all to ask your financial help for our missions. And we have a major mission in Birmingham, Alabama, and we have one in India. We also have them in Korea and Japan, but those missions are doing okay, and they don't need any more financial help. I'm going to have a brief reflection on the words that we just heard and then relate that to our missions. And I'm going to do a second thing. I'm going to invite you all to our retreat center. In the back there, I have a bunch of brochures back there, and I'll be back there handing them out after Mass. So this is kind of a double whammy for you all this weekend as I come over here. But as we listen to the words of the prophet Jeremiah, we hear the word shepherd five times. And woe to you shepherds. And so God is angry at those responsible for guiding the sheep in the church. And you know what? I think it's true. Our church right now is going through a difficult period. And our hierarchy is not all that splendid. The Pope is doing one wonderful job, but there have been some major mistakes made by those who lead the church. And I gave a talk to the Sarah Club once down in Galveston, recently Galveston down there. And one of the fellows came up to me and he said, you know, I asked him, I said, do you feel the church has apologized enough for what has happened? And there was pure silence in the room. And then later on, a fellow came up to me and he said, Father, it's kind of like the elephant in the room. And it's going to take 50 years for this to pass. So there you are. That's kind of where I'm thinking about what has happened in the past and what we have to pray for and what happens. And I'm trying to figure out just exactly how the shepherds mislead their sheep. And what happens is they fall into the four temptations that St. Thomas Aquinas constantly spoke to his church about. And those temptations are a desire for fame and honor. You know, we want to be famous. We want to be full of honor. That's the first one. Second is wealth and security. And the third would be pleasure. But the fourth one, he says, is the most powerful temptation, and that is power. And the more we reflect on the Gospels, the more one is led to think that nothing is more opposed to God's life inside us than this lust for power. Good shepherds must shun power. Nothing else so bristles with evil or is so opposed to all that Jesus means other than power. Fame, pleasure, wealth, but the Gospels, in the Gospels, it's power that is talked about the most, and it is the major source of human evil. And so, having said that, I want to bring in the fact that we have missions, we passionists have missions in the city of Birmingham, Alabama, and in the city of Cochin, India. And in Birmingham, we have what we call a Cristo Rey High School. There's one here in Houston, and the Jesuits sponsor it. We have one there in Birmingham. It's located among the African American community, and it's unique in this sense. There are many families who have very intelligent children, but who cannot afford to send those children to a Catholic school. So this high school is designed so that they are able to send their children there and get a Catholic education and make them good shepherds. It's important for all of us to realize that every one of us in here is a shepherd. And we all have responsibilities in bringing up children and tending the sheep. We're all united. And so here's how that the school works. The students attend school 4 days a week. These school days are a little longer so that the students get the full curriculum and yet have one day, the fifth day of the week, they all have jobs in this corporate world, earning a very small salary and using it to pay their tuition. They learn to open a bank account and save their money. And they learn how important saving money is for paying their tuition. Obviously, these salaries are not enough to pay the entire amount for a year. But it helps the students understand the meaning of money and how important it is to save. Therefore, your financial assistance is what makes up the remaining part of their tuition. There is the maintenance of the buildings, the bills for electricity and gas, and the cost of the salaries of the teachers. So there is a large amount of financial support that must come from the outside. And that's why I'm here to ask your help. Without your help, we simply are unable to do this ministry. By your help, you take part in that ministry of reaching down to families that are struggling and yet whose children have the talents to come out of their situation and become upright, good, and citizens here in the United States. Our teachers are especially chosen. They are gifted with that spirit of awareness of social justice and the need for helping these children. And so they are involved deeply with coaching each child to help the child buckle down, study, and produce. And so 90% of the students from our high school graduate and go on to junior college, to college, the university, or further training in some professional occupation. And so that's what I'm here for. I could go on. Our Indian missionaries, our fellows over there, are starting a school. We went over there in 1973. There are now 46 Indian Passionist priests helping and working over there. Five of them are back here in the United States working at our retreat centers, and two are working in our eastern province. So there is that need for schools, for helping, you know, people to get a chance in life, people who would not ordinarily have that chance. So that when that second collection basket comes around, could you recall everything? Try to recall what I'm trying to plead for here. Finally, the gospel. It's very different. It's Jesus telling his disciples to come away and rest. And here's something, some statistics that I'd like you to think about. The average work week for most Americans is 46 hours. 40% of the respondents in a National Sleep Foundation study admitted that they work more than 50 hours a week. Jesus told his disciples to come away and rest. North Americans, Canadians and Americans, work nearly 9 full weeks more than their Western European counterparts. And working Americans average about two weeks of vacation per year, while their European worker averages 5 to 6 weeks a year. Many working Americans receive no paid vacation at all. Any way you look at it, laborers in the United States and Canada are suffering from time poverty, rest deprivation, which in turn is affecting their physical and spiritual health, and contributing to a decrease in family socializing, community involvement, and care for the environment. People are just too tied up to their jobs to do much of anything else. Would you agree with that? No, I think it's true. And when I mentioned vacation, I told the boss I was going to go away up to Minnesota for 2 weeks, you know, up to a lake there, be in a cottage and do nothing for 2 weeks. It's hard for him to understand that and to accept that. And so I'm going to quote, I have this quote now from Jesus who said, come away for a while and rest and take it easy. Vacations are very important for the good functioning of any company, any business, any church, and certainly for all of us in our families. It's just important for us to get away and to take time out. Long before any of these guarantees of a vacation are in place, all those who labor and are burdened can find the rest they so desperately need in Christ. The God who invites us to a rest that cannot be revoked or rescinded by political or economic forces. A rest that will protect against ever living out of balance again. So that's the message this week. Trying to take time to train good shepherds. That's what we're trying to do in our schools. That would be one message. And, you know, we hear God, woe to you shepherds. That's us priests, bishops, cardinals, and all of us in authority. You have to pray for us. Is that clear? No, you really do. You have to pray for us and that we can be humble and follow the Lord. That's what St. Paul's letter was all about, becoming closer to Christ. And anyway, as that second collection basket comes around, I would ask you all to think about what we're trying to do down there in Birmingham and what we're trying to do in India to help educate the children. And this Gospel of Mark is one where we see the heart of Jesus that was moved with pity. And he looks at us and sees us like sheep without a shepherd. And so that's why we come to Mass every weekend to listen and be taught by the one who loves us beyond our knowing.